We have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you'd come this good, but it feels good!
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here alongside Johnny and Sam as Illinois goes into Iowa City, goes wire to wire, 73-61 victory on senior night. They crush the Hawkeye hopeful dreams for the NCAA tournament. They send Mr. Fran McCaffrey hopefully packing for the NIT tournament. Oh, moments like this, y'all. Doesn't really get much better than that on a Sunday night when we move the clocks forward, we get a little bit more sunlight, as we say, night-night to Iowa season, boys. Heck yeah.
Yeah, that was great. What did you guys like more? Like winning on their senior night or sending them packing for good?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I feel like we're still not 100% sure they could make a run in the Big Ten tournament.
Right.
And part of me is like, that's great, because who do they have to play if they want to win it is us. So I would love to send them packing again and see how we can win in a different way, because it's been really fun just kicking their asses.
We can just use the same recording as we just did right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Next Friday night.
Like, was it more fun to end their season or end their tournament?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It was awesome. It was fun. I don't know. Where do you guys want to start? I know we'll get into the whole, all right, regular season's over, look at the Big Ten tournament. I'm sure maybe we'll even take a second to look back at the Purdue game even. But where do we want to start? Because, Johnny, I feel like I know where you want to start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what I was going to say was just like, we started off so hot, then the last like 30-ish minutes of the game were Iowa kind of making a comeback. Seeing the graphic 40 times about the score since Caitlin Clark came into the building. Like, it felt like the narrative for most of the game was the comeback that Iowa was making, and not that Illinois was in winning the game, and to a point where it's like, did we even play that well? And then, Maddie, you had a great rebuttal.
What was my rebuttal? I already forgot it.
Your rebuttal was like, because I was like, you know, like Illinois was favored by one in this game and they're up 10 or whatever. And everyone's going to be like, we didn't play that well. And your response was like, we held Iowa to like their lowest season total the entire season and like beat them by double digits on their home court with everything on the line.
Yeah. Like, if that's anything, then the narrative, then you're a poor, lost and confused.
Yeah,
soul.
Exactly.
If that's anything but your narrative, that Illinois came in and kicked Iowa's ass, quite frankly. Again, good for Iowa for making it a game. You know, I know Illinois went up big early, and it's like I was telling Sam on the way home, I feel like it's really difficult to sustain that. Like, when you go up early and you go up, you're up 20, it's so unlikely that you're just going to win by 20 in the end. So it was inevitable that Iowa was going to go on some sort of run here. And credit to Illinois that they were able to not let the runs kick Illinois in, right? They responded to every single run that Iowa had. So if that's not the narrative, then I don't know what narrative you're searching for.
I feel like, and this is one of my pet peeves, I've probably gone on this tangent, but people love to be like, well, Illinois got outscored for like X part of the game. Fine. It's a 40-minute game. Like, whenever you go into Iowa on senior day and it's like the spread is pretty even and you win by double digits, like, it's always going to be good enough. Like,
no. Yeah, well, I think we're kind of arguing against like people, like non-existent people right now.
Yeah,
I
feel
like
Twitter bots.
We're just creating Twitter, you know, that are asking for something in the bio. You're like, we're not arguing against actual people right now, but I think it's just important to double down and make that point that it was not like Illinois, you know, held on, or Illinois, oh, easy way. Like, this is a difficult game. Iowa was playing for their pants tonight, right? And we went in and we stole them. From them, hopefully.
Yeah, and it was great to see a defensive performance that was encouraging for Illinois. Right. Like, yes, Iowa missed some shots, but it doesn't happen by accident that Iowa has their worst offensive performance of the season. Like, that was just a legit, like, great defensive game plan executed by Illinois, and you just saw from the start, like, what were we winning, 17-2? Like, it was just like, okay, we're going to be physical with Iowa. We're not going to let them get the hoop and make them to take jumpers, and they miss their jumpers. And, I mean, in terms of, like, our own offensive performances, like, I feel like the only person you're like, wow, that guy played amazing was Terrence. Like, 25 points was big from him, and we needed that. And just there were certain points in transition where they just, like, could not get in front of him. So it was really great to have it be the reversal of the Iowa game last year where, like, Tony Perkins today went 1-for-10 and had 2 points.
Yikes.
After last year, what do you have, like, 30?
So every point, yeah. A tough night for their seniors on senior night.
Yeah.
None of their seniors played well. I know Peyton Sanford's a junior, but he's probably he could test. He might not actually come back. None of their seniors balled out on the last time on their home court. That taste stays with you in your mouth for the rest of your life right there, right? Illinois had a hand in wrecking Iowa, or more than just a hand, in the entirety of wrecking Iowa's senior night right there. Like, and the seniors themselves, like, that feels so good when you get back on that plane. It's like, yeah, you shut those seniors.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Shut those seniors down. Feels real good.
It's, I feel like, just as an kind of an Iowa hater, like, and obviously Illinois is not one to talk, but for, like, the amount of stink they've kind of made in the regular season under Fran McCaffrey, just, like, really no postseason results to show for it. Mm-hmm. So, like, to send a senior class out, make sure pretty much they don't go to the tournament, it's just, it's fun.
Yeah, part of me wants to give a – I was going to say part of me wants to give a – oh, I kind of hope they make it so they can have another round of 32 exit. But I don't really know if we're qualified to say that.
Yeah, playing with fire.
Yeah, I don't know if we're qualified to say that.
Yeah, you can get your receipts pretty quickly.
They might be printed.
Yeah. It was great. Like, Fran and Brad going into this season were the only ones since 2020 to have a winning season every year in the Big Ten. So it's nice that Iowa did not go over 500 this season. That solely remains to Brad now, who's gone over 500 every year for the last 5 years. Good to see Coleman Hawkins. I saw we've beaten Iowa 7 out of the last 8 times. So, like, that's just the norm for a guy like him who's a senior. And it was a really interesting game because what worked for us in the first Iowa game did not totally work for us in the second game, right? Coleman had 30 in the first game. He had 4 points tonight. Like, Dane was awesome. Dane was great. Some great rebounds, just physical. Like, he was kind of being a bully out there, and that was awesome to watch. Like, him setting that hard screen on Tony Perkins. Like, how do you not just want to run through a brick wall for that guy?
Yeah. So
that's been really encouraging, just seeing him, like, Minnesota game, like, he's just really stayed the course. And, like, he reminds me a bit of Georgie that 2021 season where it's like whenever Kofi would come out, you're like, all right, we have like 4 minutes of Georgie playing the backup center. It's like, these are really serviceable minutes and you don't feel like there's like a massive drop off and it's just something different when he's in the game.
If he can carry that in to March, that would be, or later into March, that would be really, really fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. Good for Dane. Absolutely good for Dane. You love to see it. Season low, you know, is there an offensive like coordinator that's maybe out there on the market that maybe Iowa could hire if they, you know, need a little help scoring some points? You know, they struggled today. They only put up 61. If only there was a guy who, you know, already has a home in Iowa City that they could bring in to help score some points.
Brian Ferentz, I mean, what an end to the era right here with a nice 61-point performance for Iowa. I mean, it's glad that we got to see Iowa basketball play like Iowa football today. It's really sad. I mean, just those fans have been through so much, and you really feel for them.
I feel no emotion whatsoever, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel emotion.
Negative emotion.
I feel emotion. It's certainly not empathy, sympathy, compassion, or any of the likes there. So that's how I feel right there. Yeah. Again, I know no one's actively fighting us on this narrative if they root for the orange and blue, but I think it is just important of, like, yeah, we came in there and we kicked their ass right there. So good work, boys, on a Sunday night. Hard to get up sometimes for some of those Sunday night games. So good work, boys.
Yeah, and I also thought, like, Ty was awesome today. Like, he was playing like a man at certain points. Same thing with Quincy too. Like both of those guys attacking the rim, and both of those like encouraging. There have been points throughout the season where they've been a bit inconsistent. So those guys get like getting better as we get towards the end of the season. Like I'm not worried about a 4-for-14 performance from Marcus Smart. Not his best night, but like he'll be back and he'll be fine. But Quincy, Ty have been kind of inconsistent. So to get like their A games as the season's rolling along, like that's what can make you dangerous in March.
Yeah, I like seeing Ty just like go create his own shots. Granted, gritty shots, because just like when you get to that point in March, which you probably will when you're struggling to score, and you're a super offensive team. Like, I don't think many defenses are planning for Ty to just back you down and do a reverse layup. So it's nice to just have options and have Dane Danja playing well too.
Yeah,
Feels good.
and Ty's misses were like basically in the hoop, those layups. So
We're counting his
those
misses
Iowa
as
City rims.
we're counting those
Exactly,
misses as
those
makes.
but I'm just saying like the shot selection was really good, and he went 3-for-5, almost went 5-for-5. Like it's encouraging.
We'll take it. We'll take it. And I know that we again will take a 14-6 conference record here. You're second in the Big Ten. Obviously, you secured a double bye before tonight, but it's solidified. Should talk Big Ten tourney, boys? Because before
Yeah,
we
let's
talk Big
do
Ten tourney, let me just pull up the bracket, right? The Big Ten tournament bracket. Usually
it.
the pundits, they tweet that out, right? Like I'll just pull up. Oh my goodness! For the fourth year in a row, Dan Saladino, shout out Dan, dupes
Yes.
John Rothstein into posting his homemade field pass bracket right there. Yeah, if you look in the bottom right, and he's sending us tweets now. Other pundits are also the India one of the it looks like one of the Indiana beat writers. They tweet out his homemade created field pass logo or bracket. Do you think one of these days he could like sneak something in there into the
Yeah, no, we
bracket?
gotta get a secret message.
Like
Push
some
his
sort of
luck.
secret message, something like ridiculous. Like it's 99.9% the real thing, but there's just something in there that is just a total curveball or like a what the. He's got to go for that for the 5th year anniversary next year.
Yeah. Like, is there
Yeah.
something you can say like John Rothstein has no life or like,
You capitalize certain letters and you like
yeah.
unscramble them or something like that. And we got a whole nother year to think about it. But we're locked in to game 9, 5:30 p.m., March 15th, Friday night. Boys, are we going back to back Iowa games? Because I would say that it's probably the certainty right now. Is you're likely playing Iowa again. You guys want that?
It'd be fun to
No.
beat them. Yeah, I agree, Sam.
It'd
Like
be.
we played them twice here in the last like 3 weeks. So playing them a third time within a month, like it's not just fun from a viewing experience, but I would still be very happy beating them.
Can
It
we
sounds
talk
like what
about.
Johnny's saying. It sounds like Johnny's saying he'd like to play Iowa if we win.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we talk about the whole it's hard to beat a team three times
Yeah.
thing? Like, yes, it's hard to beat a team three times, but you're not doing that. You're beating a team one time. You've already beat them twice. You're not going into a three-game matchup. Plus, would you rather raise your hand if you'd rather be the team that's you've lost to twice or you've beat twice? I would still rather be the team that I've beaten twice than you've lost to twice, right? I never really understood that narrative. Like you'd rather be the team that's 2-0 than 0-2.
Hundred
I never really understood that statistical
percent. I think
metric
it's
right there.
like if you barely beat a team twice, then it's sort of like your luck's run out. But if you, I mean, we didn't play like amazing against Iowa the first time, but like sometimes you're just better than a team, and it's like we kind of feel confident this is a team we can beat. Like, yeah, we'll play them a third time.
And again, it might be that they are playing with they have a lot more to play for. In the conference, and I don't know psychologically if that's gonna matter or not. Like, I'm sure Illinois is extremely incentivized to do very well in the Big Ten tournament. But again, should they get past their first round game against Ohio State, like they're gonna be out for blood, and it's gonna feel like we're the ones with the target on our back. And maybe that is worth points. I don't know, but I'd rather be the 2-0 team versus the 0-2 team. I never quite understood that statistical modeling right there.
Yeah, I mean, Sam made the point. Like, Bardo is particularly snake bitten from Illinois beating Michigan 2 years when he was two games in a row his year, and then lost to them in the Final Four when they played for the third time. So he's going to mention that. There's other examples, and you don't talk about it when the team wins the third time in a row, you know. But it's like more notable when it happens the other way around. But as I'm thinking about it, like, I don't even know if I was going to be favored against Ohio State here.
Really?
Like Ohio State's been pretty hot, and Ohio State's ahead of them in KenPom. Like, Ohio State has won 4 straight Big Ten games, 5 out of the last 6. Like,
let's take a look.
They beat Purdue. Like,
it's not up. I can take them at plus 50,000 to win the NCAA tournament, Ohio State, but that's really about it. That's about all that they have on them. That's a good point. Yeah. Diebler, right? That's his name. He's playing for his job. He's playing for his job right now. They've got everything. He's got everything to play for right now. Absolutely. Yeah, you never want to give the interim coach a shot. That's what they say, right? But you guys, I would rather play Ohio State of bar none than Iowa a third time, for sure. Even though I just made the whole point about you can beat a team 3 times. My stupid dumb brain is like, oh yeah, that's right. You can't beat that team again. We can, but does it remain the same for you can't beat a team twice? Or is it not as, because we're playing, if we played Ohio State, you know, does that same model exist? Or
second time.
Okay, so. Second time you can beat them. Got it. Okay. Yep. Very good. Very good. Excellent. It's exciting. This is very exciting, guys. I'm excited.
Yeah, and what's your guys' stance? I know I feel like we all go kind of all over the place in terms of, do you want to win in the Big Ten tournament? Do you not want to win in the Big Ten tournament? Like, I feel like it ends up being like revisionist history of like, we only really care if we do well in the NCAA tournament or not, you know? Like,
my stance is pretty firmly that I don't know if it matters a ton. You don't want to drop that first game. It's probably not great. If you lose in the semis, like unless you're a team who's like getting really hot or like really skidding, like we've seen teams who have won their conference tournament and then done poorly in the tournament, then vice versa. So I don't know if like I have a strong stance on it.
If there's seeding on the line, in seeding, which again the committee has, you know, alluded to many times over that Sunday Big Ten tournament final game has little to no implications. Does Illinois winning a quarterfinal and semifinal game move them up a seed? That would be my big question. Does it move them up a seed or potentially down a seed if you lose on Friday night? That's one. And then two, I will say from a like quote fun factor. So you guys know it's like fun to win games. Like after Illinois wins, it's like fun. Yes, we're all nodding. We know what that's like. It's fun.
It's a relatively new phenomenon.
So it's from a fun perspective, it's fun if you can win 3 games in the Big Ten tournament versus 2 or 1 or 0 or 4 in some instances even or more. Like if you're getting that feel good like Friday night and then you get that feel good Saturday afternoon and then you also get that feel good Sunday afternoon, that is a really awesome high to crave. So I'm all for winning the Big Ten tournament because it gives you 3 more opportunities to say, hell yeah, I watched my team play. Hell yeah, I watched my team win. Hell yeah, I got to experience the dopamine associated with the orange and blue winning. So I'm all for winning the Big Ten tournament. Screw whatever anyone else who says it doesn't matter. It's a trophy. It is a banner. It is 3 more opportunities at fun at watching your team. I'm all in. For winning another Big Ten tournament. Yes.
I want right. Another shot at Purdue. I feel like they've kind of let their guard down. Their Twitter fans who, like Robert said, have gone dark. Just dark this year. So
you can't beat a team 3 times, so if we play Purdue.
Yeah, like you just that. Said. Yeah. Like you just stated.
Can't beat a team 3 times. So, you know.
It is funny that the committee's like, oh, you beat Purdue. Okay. Like, sorry, we already made the bracket. We'll try and squeeze you into a better seat if it fits. If not, sorry.
Yeah, that's a great point. Because like if you were to beat Purdue, That's like a massive win. You should move up the seed line because of that. And then we would just see us showing up as a four seed. Like, what was the fucking point of that?
It's ridiculous.
You know, it's
go ahead, Sam.
It would be like, it's funny because it would be like pretty far and away the biggest win of our season too. Like, yeah, I don't know if we have a win against the top 25 team right now or where FAU is, but like it is just funny that the Big Ten puts themselves in that position.
I think the committee has basically said, look, it's too late in the day. We're not going to change it. It would behoove the Big Ten to maybe move that. And I know they have that standalone game. It's the last conference tournament. It's the last game before the bracket is revealed. All of America is watching that final Sunday afternoon game. So it's awesome if your team is in it. But would it also maybe not behoove the Big Ten Conference to move that game to a better time in which the committee can then revise the bracket if necessary? Or is it on the committee to say, you're right, this is a game that is supposed to count, that it's not on the Big Ten to do that? Because I'm also...
It's definitely on the committee. Also, the Big Ten would never change it just because of, like, financial reasons. Like, there's a lot of money and eyeballs on that game, and it's on CBS. But it's on the committee because, like, if that game happened in December where you have a neutral game against a top five team and you win, like, that's a huge deal.
Right.
But for whatever reason, the only games that don't matter are the games that are most recent. Like, it's just pure laziness almost out of the committee. Yeah. And, like, I get you have so many different things. But, like, do some scenario planning. It's not that
the games that don't matter. The games that don't matter on a neutral court, which are, like,
yeah, exactly,
the most fair. But, yeah, it's almost like you could maybe plan for – there are only so many outcomes that could happen. Either Illinois wins if they play Purdue or Purdue wins. Maybe we just plan for both.
No. That's way,
no,
that's way
no.
No. Come on. That's way too difficult. That's way two scenarios, Sam. Because then they might accidentally submit the wrong bracket. And that would just be a nightmare.
That's like a nightmare. That's like when AP voters like clearly forget a team in their AP top 25 and then they like try and cover it up and
they try to rationalize it. Yeah, they'll be like, well,
I don't know if Alabama's legit. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't watched a bunch of Bama games this year yet. I don't know. Yes, I agree. The Big Ten's not gonna give up that time slot.
It's funny though, because it's like the Big 12 and the ACC don't even play, they play on that Saturday. So there's also the potential argument, Maddie. But it's also the point of the committee. It's like you really have like four different things that you care about. That's all you have to plan for on that final Sunday. Like, okay, you have the SEC tournament, the Big Ten, the AAC, and the A-10. And the only other one is the Ivy League. Like, that outcome does not affect your bracket at all. The A-10, not really towards the top of your seed lines. SEC, okay, there's two teams impacted by what happened. Like, and the Big Ten, there's two teams that are impacted by what happened. Like,
right. It's lazy. It's lazy bracketeering is what it is. This is your job. This is your job, like, for the whole year. And it is just it's a ludicrous concept when you kind of isolate and you're like, oh, yeah, the best win of the year, the most important win, could just completely be deemed irrelevant by the committee. I know we're putting the cart before the horse, you know, forward like three games here. But I think regardless of who is in that final game, with the exception of Purdue, like, if they beat Purdue, whoever's in that game, like, deserves to potentially move up a seed. Or maybe, no, I won't say Purdue, they don't deserve to move down a seed. They're locked into the one, no matter what happens. But
they could, like, they could in theory.
You think if they lose, you think if they lose, they could get
knocked down? Not this year, but, like, in a situation, there will be a time when, like, that does affect the seeding.
Right, absolutely. I agree. So that's our, NCAA, if you're listening, which obviously I'm sure they are, because they listen to all the podcasts, just help us out, you know. Help us out. Help out the Big Ten come Sunday here. How many teams? Let's play a little Joey brackets or Mike DeCourcy brackets here, as you will. Like, I know obviously we still have the Big Ten tournament. It's such a weird. How many teams do you think are getting in? Like, Iowa is out right now. The big one that I'm curious is Michigan State. I know they have the really solid non-con, but they technically finished behind Iowa in the Big Ten this year. Like, they had the win against Baylor was their really good non-con win. Does Izzo lose the streak here? I think they were at like a 9 or a 10.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I feel like he gets the Izzo bump. Like, they're just worst case scenario, he's in like the first four games. They just that's a team the committee loves. And granted, they did beat Baylor by 24 points in like Indiana State, but I know a very unimpressive performance for Michigan State. Like
Yeah,
10 and 10,
preseason four.
you get exactly. And like, you were it was really Purdue and Michigan State who were supposed to win the Big Ten, and only one of those teams actually really showed up. Other bubble teams, I think Wisconsin's clearly in.
Oh, for
They're
sure.
not really even super
Unfortunately,
bubble team.
they're not a
I
bubble. They
don't
were at like
know
a
about,
six. Yeah.
yeah, I don't know about Ohio State. Like, they have a decent resume. They beat Alabama non-con, and now they've gotten hot here, but.
Yeah, but if you're not going to let Iowa in and potentially Michigan State, even if they got hot at the end, I don't know how you let Ohio State would obviously have to beat Iowa, and they'd have to beat Illinois, and they'd maybe have to get even another win in the semifinals to even sniff the tournament. Yeah, it's a
But I
strange
mean,
year.
but also just like you look at Iowa's non-conference and they just did not like they went, I think, 1-4 against Power Five teams. So
They lost to
like,
Creighton. They lost to Oklahoma. They lost to Iowa State. Yeah.
yeah. So 1-3, they beat Seton Hall. Like,
Right.
they did not have an impressive non-con as
Right.
opposed to like Ohio State
They beat
beat a
Bama.
Bama team who's going to be a top four seed.
Right. Right. Right.
They
I
beat
yeah.
UCLA.
But they're. I would say I don't. They're probably out right now.
Yeah,
Ohio State. They're
they
definitely out
are.
right
They are.
now. And Michigan State. I would say I'm looking at the bracket matrix, which is just a wonderful website. If you've never used it, aggregates all of the major bracketologists. I mean, MSU, at least going into today, they were solidly in, but that could change after what happened today.
Yep.
I would not solidify them as in.
Johnny, KenPom still is MSU at 23, so I don't know if Johnny like knows how to reckon with them not being in this tournament because
Yeah.
like the source of truth says they should be. But
Ooh,
Ohio State
they
down at 49 is tough.
Exactly. I mean, I agree. Michigan State's not a team that I want to play in the tournament. Like, that
No.
is a team who is, I would say, better than their record, but that like they still won 10 and 10 of the Big Ten, but it's still not a team that I'd be like excited to play if I was a 6 seed playing an 11 seed or a 7 seed playing a 10 seed. Like, that would not be
Absolutely
fun.
not. What
No.
kind of money going into the year if you got to say, all right, I'm going to say Purdue's first, Illinois second, Nebraska's third, Northwestern is fourth. That's my prediction for the Big Ten this year. What kind of money do you think? What kind of line do you think Vegas would have given you there? Is that, I mean, good for
It's
Nebraska,
high.
Northwestern, as much as we don't want to give them their flowers right there, especially the team out in Evanston. Like, that is so impressive. I think Fred Hoiberg is the really the shoe-in for the coach of the year. Again, we know we talk about it's just an award of
Oh, no, it's got to
expectation.
be Painter.
I don't know though. It's an award of expectation. It's not an award of necessarily the best coach. It's an award of
He went
expectation.
17-3.
I agree with you.
Like,
It should be Matt Painter, but I think people will call for Fred Hoiberg to win because it is oftentimes an award of expectation. I think it should be Matt Painter. I'm 100% with you. And maybe again, maybe most people do agree with you and us, Johnny, that it is Matt Painter. Yeah, 17-3 is pretty remarkable. But there will be people that are like, but it should be Fred Hoiberg. He took
Yeah,
Nebraska and
totally.
got
You're
him
totally right.
to third place. But yeah, whatever. I don't know. That would probably be like plus 25,000 right there and have Nebraska third and Northwestern fourth.
Definitely. But yeah, it would
It's
be very fun.
all
It's like, congrats to Fred Hoiberg for in year five finally making the tournament and having an above 500 record. Like, it
right.
only took him 5 years. Like,
Couldn't be us.
I mean, do you guys, year five for Brad Underwood was what? Our third straight tournament. Like,
Apples and oranges, but
Sam, what were you
couldn't
gonna
be
say?
us.
I was gonna say it's all fun and games until Nebraska makes two tournaments in a row. Then it's like, all right, now I'm getting tired of this. Or like, don't need
Yeah.
them to become a real thing with Ben Johnson winning a decent amount of Big Ten games. But we're a ways away from there until
Wait, Ben
Monaga.
Johnson? Ben Johnson? Are we talking
Ben
Minnesota?
Johnson.
Are we talking Minnesota?
Minnesota.
Are we talking Minnesota? Or are we talking Nebraska
No, I'm just saying like Nebraska and Minnesota are like the two kind of like. It's nice to get a win versus them. So like now that they're picking up and Michigan made player Juwan and whatnot, like last thing you need is for parity.
Well, here's the thing. There's always going to be, because Sam, you were saying when we were going home, like, hey, it'd be nice if Iowa just kind of faded into oblivion a little bit. If they fade, someone's going to have to come up, right? There's always going to
Right.
be the teams that are like doing, you know, someone has to be second and someone has to be third and someone has to be like, there's always going to be those teams that are like, oh, they're having a nice couple of years here. Minnesota had those nice couple of years way back when, where they did finish in the top of the Big Ten there, and they did kind of sputter in the last few years then. So there's always going to be like a team that's kind of riding a hot streak for a few years. Would I rather it be Nebraska or Minnesota than Iowa? Yes. Yes, I absolutely would. Are you basically arguing, Sam, hey, can we all just go 10 and 10? Is that what you're arguing then? Can we all just go 10 and 10 in the Big Ten next year and just go full parity mode? No one makes the tournament from the Big Ten. Everyone just goes 10 and 10. Is that your, actually, well, there's
no
more
one except us.
No one we go 20.
Oh yeah, add Oregon.
We gotta
UCLA.
Add yeah, we gotta add. Yeah. Still, everyone's 10 and 10. Is that your vision for college basketball in the Big Ten moving forward?
No, mine would be that Nebraska kind of gets back to sucking. Minnesota gets back to sucking. Maybe Rutgers, Michigan, Maryland kind of stay at the bottom. Penn State stays down there. Just like an easy Big Ten. I'm not a fan of a strong Big Ten.
You're not asking for much. You're not asking for much at all.
No, yeah.
You're not asking for much at all. Johnny, I know you're looks like you're in the lab over there doing some research. What math are you crunching? He's nodding, folks. It's not good, folks, is it?
Well, no, the team that we also didn't talk about was like Northwestern, and like you'll give them credit that Chris Collins has now had back to back like winning seasons, which like had never really seen. But then I was just looking up how old Boo Booey is and like who's gonna be on their team next year, and we're fine. We're not worried about it.
Is
They're
Brooks
not gonna have a
Barnheiser coming back?
26-year-old Boo Booey. Yeah, Brooks Barnheiser will be back, but
Okay, that's
he can't carry
good.
an offense.
That's good.
We're fine.
Yeah, Boo Booey, I mean, good for Boo, but he's going up against dudes that just came out of high school like a year or two
Yes,
ago.
exactly.
That's wild. Older than Io. Yeah, that is wild that he's, I mean, good for him. Take advantage of it. He's having a fantastic year, and now he's gonna have a chance to leave his stamp in the tournament. I'd love to still be in college, guys. I don't know about you. If I had a chance to be in college, hell yeah, I'd go back. Hell
Yeah,
yeah, I would have
we'd
tried to
just be
extend.
scoring like so much better than other like sophomores on tests, you know, if we were in the same class over and over again. Like, yeah, I
yeah,
think
Johnny,
we'd
you
be
would
doing a little bit better
destroy
in
it.
school than
Johnny, you
yes.
would just
Oh my god.
destroy at Fin 221. You would be
Yes.
so good
Oh
at the
my
time
god.
value of money. Like, you
Yes.
wouldn't even need the calculator. You just, you know, whip out, you know, the pencil, and you'd be able to get the future value of money just like that.
But then, like, once you graduate, I think, like, you know, finance firms or wherever are like, the upside's lower because this guy's older. Like, we can tap into
Yeah,
him
red
for
flag.
fewer years. It's like
Right.
Brandon Weeden going to the Browns, you know?
Yes. And if you stuck around, Johnny, you might have to go to a finance firm in Europe. You wouldn't be able to get one of the big four here in America.
Yeah, or China. Yeah.
You'd have to go abroad. Yeah, you'd have to go
But
abroad.
some people are just like, they'll go wherever the profession takes them. Like, they love it, you know, that much.
They love it that much. They're willing to go to the
Yeah,
farthest.
That's all they've known. They played travel finance since they were like 8 years old. They did AAU finance. So.
AAU finance. Yeah, I love it. Good for Boo. But yes, we will see you around, Boo. Rooting for you in the professionally wherever you go, buddy. So
yeah, Boo's like, yeah, I had a summer internship with the
the
Houston
Wildcats.
Rockets. Yeah,
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Under Armour brand ambassador.
Yeah.
Yes. Helped secure funds for the new football stadium. Fantastic. All right. So that was another regular season in the books, boys. It's a long season, but it always goes by so unbelievably quickly. You know, it feels like you blink, you know, and it's like Halloween, and you know, Illinois football is wrapping things up, and then you blink, and you're hearing the CBS March Madness music. So never take it for granted, boys, as we head into another
Yeah.
March. Never take it for granted.
And I think that's something we can kind of reflect on as we kind of turn down this podcast is like we started the season 25th in the AP poll. And I would say consensus was we'd be like somewhere between third and fifth in the Big Ten. And we finished in second. We're probably going to be 12th in the AP, 10th in KenPom. Like this has been a very successful regular season. And like we get caught up in the day-to-day, week-to-week so much. But now that it's over with, it's like, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
you got to enjoy it. You truly do have to enjoy it, which is why I do advocate for winning the Big Ten tournament, because it's three
Yeah.
more enjoyable moments, right? Yes. Again, it is so easy to get lost in whatever you want to find on Twitter, and you can find any take that you want on Twitter. Objectively, you finished second in a conference of so many teams, of a conference that is gaining more teams, that it's only going to be more difficult to finish this high. So don't take it for granted, boys. It feels like, again, just yesterday we were an orange crush, the three of us, just watching
there.
Clown on us and, you know, ruin our tournament hopes every spring. So it's always a pleasure,
there
boys,
will be a
to
day
watch this.
There will be a day soon, no matter what happens in March, where you're like, holy shit, there's 6 months until football and basketball's over. So
enjoy every moment of it. We won't have to
I'll
go
see
outside
you in April and I'll be like, yeah, still season
spring
going
game
on for us in basketball, but
spring
no,
game. Yeah, should we talk linebacker depth real quick? Yeah, spring
yeah.
ball.
Yeah, no, but that's the one perspective that always gets me is our senior year when the season ended in February because they moved the Big Ten tournament up a year or up a week. Like, we were literally, what, we have 4 wins in the Big Ten. We went 4-14 and the season was over in February. Like, this program has come so far. So
never take it for granted, boys.
We were beating Nebraska to stop them from making the tournament our senior year, and that was like the pinnacle win.
Yeah, that was awesome. But I was like, is this as good as it gets? Right, keeping other teams out,
getting Tim Miles fired.
There's a lot better. There's a lot better than that. I hope so. So another successful regular season of podcasting in the books too, boys. I hope we get to do a couple of these postseason pods. I know it'll be tough to maybe do this every night, hopefully with the Big Ten tournament, because it's, you know, it's so quick, but definitely at the end of the Big Ten tournament before the big dance start, we'll definitely get on once or twice and talk how we're feeling. I know that's one of my favorite podcasts of the year, is when the bracket is out and we get to talk about how we got screwed over in seeding, and Johnny brings up, you know, advanced metrics from Ken Palm about how we shouldn't be playing our first round matchup until the Final Four. I look forward to it every year. So anything else? Anything else, boys?
No, can't wait.
Can't
we
wait.
We will see you Friday.
We will see.
Beat Iowa slash Ohio State.
We will see you guys Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone, to the board. We'll catch you on the next episode. ILL.